Hello, welcome to your meditation as part of the Open Heart Project. My name is Susan Piver, and I'm delighted to sit with you in meditation. We're going to sit together today for 10 minutes, and we're going to start very soon. So please take your seat and get settled, whether you're on a cushion on the floor with your legs crossed loosely in front of you, or in a chair. And if you do sit in a chair, please sit with your feet flat on the floor. And as I always say, it's completely fine to sit in a chair. One of you asked me recently, well, you say it's fine to sit in a chair, why don't you sit in a chair sometimes? Sometimes I do, but when I make these videos, I've got this whole little rig set up, so this is how I'm sitting with Kat. So before we get started with our meditation today, I want to continue answering your excellent questions, heartfelt questions, to the best of my ability. And if you have a question about your practice, about your path, about your life, things that you think meditation might help you with or spiritual insight might be useful, please let me know in comments and I will do my best to answer. And if I don't have an answer, I will not make up any BS. That is my promise to you. So this week, the question is from Anthony, and I'll just preface this by saying it's kind of the only question. Susan, can you provide any wisdom on loneliness and loss? I've lost my mother, and my father is getting older. I don't feel like there's anyone alive today that I can count on the way I can count on my dad. Once he goes, I'll be feeling truly alone in this world. That loneliness and the grief can be hard roads to navigate. I thought you might have some wisdom to share on the matter. Sincerely, Anthony. Well, thank you, Anthony. I'm sorry for the loss of your mother, and I feel for you with every inch of my being and all of my heart around this loss and impending losses that one cannot help but think about. I don't know that I have any wisdom to share, but I do have experience, and so there's two things. One is, it is good and precious to recognize the depth and meaning of your relationship with your father while he's still alive. That is lucky. And many of us don't have that chance, either because our father or our parent was not a good parent, or because somebody held grudges, which is understandable. I'm not saying you shouldn't. Or because the relationship just became distant over time or was never close to begin with. So there's no right or wrong here. There's all sorts of circumstances between a person and their parents. So to have a close relationship that you know you will miss, while it is truly heartbreaking, and trust me, I share that heartbreak, it is also useful to recognize your incredible good fortune and also your father's good fortune at having a son who loves him. So these are rare things in our world. So that's a place to start. My father died in 2012, and I loved and love him very, very much. And he was a medical doctor. And I, in my life, like many people, have had my own medical issues. And he always made me feel like he knew exactly what the right thing was for me to do in any of my whatevers that happened, including being in a really bad accident a long time ago. And he was always right. He was very wise and really excellent physician. And he loved me a lot. And so I would call him and I'd say, Dad, they're telling me to do this, or they want me to take this medicine. And he would say, honey, don't do it. Or honey, yes, do that. And there was never any hesitation. And I felt a great sense of being protected. And now that he's gone, I feel quite vulnerable without him. At the same time, one thing that I noticed soon after he died was that, okay, he was not there anymore. No two ways about that. But while he was not any place in particular, it seemed that suddenly he was every place. Everywhere I looked, every conversation I had, every friendship that I developed or deepened, I felt I could see him. I could feel him. I don't know if that doesn't help with the grief and the loss, but the relationship does not end, is what I'm trying to say, when a person we love is gone. And the other thing I'll say before we practice is, yeah, this loneliness and loss is part of our life. It's part of being human. There's no one who will escape these experiences of loneliness and loss. Not even, maybe you could escape. I hope so. Why? You know, of course, I don't know. This is a question of the ages. Thank you for showing me that. All I can say is that in my moments of deepest grief and most profound and existential loneliness, while it is horrible and dark and does not feel good, so don't get me wrong, at the same time, it seems that the world around me comes to life in a different way when I'm connected to the ephemeral nature of things. Everything becomes more precious. That may sound trite, and it is not trite. And I don't mean it's like, oh, I thought I didn't like you, but actually I really do. Or now everything in my relationship with you is perfect because I've realized the truth of impermanence. So far, that's not how it's worked for me. It rather, the way it works is my sense perceptions become more vivid. And that's what I mean by things seem more alive. Colors, tastes, smells, everything that comes in through the sense perceptions seems more, sometimes overwhelmingly vivid. So that's what I mean by, you see, the precious nature of what's around you. And when we're in our usual game, which I'm in right now, and I spend 99.9% of my time in my usual game, which is, I'm Susan, and this is what I do, and this is how I feel about you, and this is what I like, and this is what I don't like, blah, 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 blah. When that is wiped away, as grief and loss tend to do, it just obliterates your game. There's a space of openness, where great discoveries can be made, although I don't think that's the point, but where the meaning of life can truly be felt. So these are things, as I say, that do not help with lessening grief, but they do help with deepening our experience of being human, which I think, after all, is the game. So I hope this is useful. Do let me know. And if you are suffering with grief, loss, loneliness, as I'm sure everybody is, if not today, then maybe tomorrow, please tell us what's going on with you. Leave a comment. Let us respond to you. Let us support you. Let us care about you. Okay. Begin your practice, please, by appreciating your extraordinary good fortune that you can meditate, that you have a body that can sit or lie down, that you have a mind that is willing to explore and be curious about who you are and what your experience is from moment to moment. Appreciate that you have the health, physical and emotional, to do this. That's great. I'm not saying we're perfect, but we can do this. So let's just start by appreciating this. And I appreciate you. You could extend your appreciation to your fellow Open Heart Project community members who are meditating with you right now. Thank you, everyone. And take your seat, which is different than just sitting down. Taking your seat means establishing the posture. So sit up straight, unless you're lying down because you're sick or have back pain, in which case, lie down. Otherwise, sit up straight to the best of your ability. and feel the strength of your back body. Let the hands rest on the legs, palms down, just above the knee or somewhere that feels natural. Let your front body soften. Your belly can relax. The area around your heart, your throat. Let it all soften because you have this strong back that can support it all. Let the shoulders relax. The chin is tucked a little bit, so the back of the neck is long, and the mouth is closed because you don't have to talk. So please enjoy that. The lips and teeth are slightly parted. The breath is natural, in and out through the nose, meaning no breathing technique. You already know how to breathe, so just keep doing that. And the eyes are open in this practice, and the gaze is cast down to a spot in front. Up to 6 feet or less, depending on where your screen is. And let the eyes be soft. You don't have to stare at anything. In fact, imagine that you could gaze into the middle distance and see what that feels like. Let the forehead relax, and the crown of the head reaches up a little bit. Now let your attention rest on the breath, which does not mean observe the breath. It means feel the breath. Feel the inhale and the exhale. Stay with the breath as best you can, feeling the body breathe. Your mind will continue to make thoughts. Yay, that's what it does, no big deal. No effort is needed to change that. You don't stop thinking, you don't change thinking. Just let your thoughts go by like clouds in the sky. Most of your thoughts will just come and go on their own, and you don't have to do anything. However, if you notice that you become absorbed in thought fully, to the point where you have forgotten about your breath, that's fine. See that. Call that thinking. Let go. And gently return your attention to the breath and take a fresh start. Thank you so much for your practice. Thank you for practicing with me. Thank you for practicing together. And Anthony, thank you for your excellent question. And I'm quite sure I speak for our whole community when I say our hearts go out to you and we're here with you. Thank you.